Now I remembered to push record. I apologize to all those from Monday night that our shiur on Parshas Truma was not recorded. I thought I hit the button. I thought it was recording. But halfway through the shiur, I noticed that it wasn't recording. So please be mochel me. There are a number of people that asked me why I didn't post the recording on the WhatsApp group on YU Torah. And I just apologize to everyone. Okay. Tonight's learning is Li'ilui Nishmas, a very, very special person that I deserve to know well, Rabbi Yonah Landa Zatzal. Rabbi Yonah Landa, Rav Yonah ben Rabbi Alexander Zev, was a survivor of Auschwitz. He used to tell a very powerful story of how he was separated from his parents, from his sister, and how quickly he learned of their fate. And our learning tonight, it's appropriate because what we're going to learn about tonight is Parsha Zohar. And Rabbi Yonah, being a survivor who remembered, but also who rejected the nihilism of so many after a war that just devastated a world, an entire world. And it was always inspiring to see him come into shul to put on his tefillin when he was taking a Shulchan Aruch. He would sit in our Gemara shir. It was always a tremendous, tremendous chus. And tonight is Rabbi Yonah's yahrzeit, and his neshama should have an aliyah from our learning. Tonight's also, of course, the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Av HaNeviim, the greatest of all prophets, Moshe Emes V'Torah, so Emes, the one that brought the Torah to us, and obviously the one that helped us through our battle with Amalek, of course, that we read in Parshas B'Shalach. And although our kriya from this Shabbos, Parshas Zohar, is in fact the end of Parshas Kisetze, and if a person can't make it to shul this Shabbos, when you go to shul in August, hopefully the weather will be better, hopefully you'll have the opportunity to perhaps make it to shul in August, you could hear the kriya at the end of Parshas Kisetze. I want to first look in Parshas B'Shalach. The laning from the end of B'Shalach, when the war actually happens, that's the reading that we have on Purim morning in Shul. That's the Kriyas HaTorah of Purim morning in Shul. And when we examine the Kriyas HaTorah of B'Shalach, there's a very, very simple question that comes up, right? And it's really born out of a Tanchuma, a Medrash, that is really quite startling. Because to really understand the context of Amalek, we have to know what happens immediately before Amalek. We know the famous Chazal, Vayovo Amalek, Vayilachem im Yisrael b'Refidim, that Amalek came and made war with the Jewish people in Refidim. And why does it tell us that it was in the place known as Refidim? Because Refidim is a lashon of Rifyon, it's a lashon of weakening. And the Jewish people weakened in learning of Torah, and hence, that's why Amalek came to attack them. However, there's a Tanchuma that has a little bit of a different approach. And this is something the Chalban speaks of at length, Rabbi Yerucham Olshin, Shlit Lavdil Ben Chaim V'Chaim, Rosh Shiva, Beth Medrash Gavoa, and his sefer on the Dalet Parshios and Purim talks about this at length. But the different approach is, don't look at the end of the Pasuk of Vayavo Amalek, look at the Pasuk before. What was the section in the Torah immediately before Amalek comes and attacks the Jewish people? We're in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, Vayikra Shem HaMakom Masa Umeriva, Al Riv B'nei Yisrael Val Nasosam Es Adonai Lemar, Hayesh Adonai B'Kirbeinu Im Oyin. This was a place that was known as Masa Meriva. The name of the place was known as quarrelsomeness and contention and fight because of the fight that the Jewish people had and the fact that they tested Hashem to say, is Hashem in our midst or not? Right? Hayesh Hashem bekirbenu im oyin. Is Hashem yesh with us here or not? So what happened here? Do you remember what happened here? What was this test of the Jewish people? The test of the Jewish people, if you turn just a little bit earlier, is that the Jewish people in the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, they come to Hashem, they travel al pi Hashem, vayachanu berfidim, they camp in Refidim, ve'ein mayim l'shtos ha'am. The people have no water, there's no water. Vayarov ha'am in Moshe, im vayomru tenu lanu mayim v'nishte, give us water so we can drink. And Moshe responds in a very strange way. Vayomer lahem Moshe, Matri vunimadi, why are you fighting with me? Matenasun es Adonai. Why are you testing God? Why are you quarreling with God? So hold on one second. The Pasuk just testifies. The Pasuk is Meir. Ve'imayim l'shosam. They came to this place called Rephidim and there was no water here. This is after the story. This is after the story of the Eitz throwing the water. This is after Mara. This is not the story when they didn't have water to drink because it was bitter. Right after the splitting of the sea. This is the end of the parasha. After the story of the man coming down from heaven with the food. They come to Rephidim, there's no water. And the people complain. They get quarrelsome with Moshe. And they say, give us water. So I understand Moshe says, Matri vuni madi, why are you fighting with me? Because the Pasuk says, Vayarava amin Moshe. That the people came very contentiously to Moshe. They came with a chip on their shoulder. They came upset. And Moshe's like, chill out. What's your problem with me? But then, Matinasunes Hashem, why are you testing God? What are they quarreling with God? What's the test of God that they had over here? So the test of Hashem is only when we see Va'al Nasosomes Hashem Lemor. How did they test God? How did they challenge Hashem by saying Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Emayin? Is Hashem with us or is Hashem not with us? One thing that it wasn't what they asked. They asked Moshe Tenulanu Mayin Vinishta. Give us water and we're going to drink. What does this mean that they were asking God, they were challenging God? Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu emayin? Is Hashem amongst us or not? So the Chalban has a beautiful, beautiful approach that's based upon Kama v'kama Midrashim. It's based on Zohar as well. That when we talk about testing God, we didn't find anything about testing God. What did we find? We find the request for water. So what we have to do is we have to understand that this request for water was not a stam request for water. This wasn't just that we were thirsty, like, you know, when you're traveling in the car and you need to take a break because you need to go to rest stop because your kid says, oh, I'm thirsty, I need a drink. And of course, when you go to buy him a water, then, no, we want a Sprite. No Sprite, you're thirsty, you have water, right? But this isn't what it is. The test of God is for water, but it's really Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu emayin. What's this question? Is Hashem amongst us or not? What was the question for water? The question for water was much, much deeper. This wasn't about water. This was about God being amongst us. How do you figure that? So Zok the Chalban, listen to this. Such a beautiful, beautiful idea. And why it is important idea? Because the Medrash says, I wanted to quote the Lashon of the Medrash. The Medrash says, this is a Medrash Tanchuma. Amar lena kach baruchu, kach her hartem hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu. This is what you thought. Can it be hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu? Is Hashem with us? The Tanchuma writes, chayechem by your life, hareini modeh alechem. I'm going to let you know whether I'm with you. Lekach, therefore, vayovu Amalek. Amalek comes. So the Medrash Tanchuma says that Vayavu Amalek is not a response to Rafidim the Sherofu Yideh Min HaTorah. Again, the Pshatim ultimately connect, and we're not gonna focus on that tonight. But what it seems is that the Medrash is saying that in response to this challenge, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu, comes Amalek. So Amalek somehow, Vayavu Amalek is the answer, or perhaps it forces the Jewish people to discover the answer to Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Emayin. So what's the question of Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Emayin? What does this mean, is God with us? Again, who are these people? These are the Dardeya. This is the generation that had greater understanding and clarity of God than any other generation in all of history. The only generation that will come close is the generation of Yimos HaMashiach, according to one man, the Amar, in the beginning of, at the end of the first parak of Brachos, that what's going to happen, Yimos HaMashiach is going to make Yetzias Mitzrayim look like child's play. So this is the Dardeya. They saw the Makos. They experienced Kriyas Yamsuf, right? They didn't have the Kabbalah Sator yet. But these are a people that have had unbelievable revelation. They have direct knowledge of the Ribono Shel Olam. Again, Kabbalah Satorah, we spoke about this Monday night. I apologize. Kabbalah Satorah were these great, great auras, this great energy, totally beyond this world. And the Mishkan is what brings it into this world, right? We said like Neshama to Guf was Kabbalah Satorah, the experience at Har Sinai to the Mishkan, right? But here we're before Kabbalah Satorah, but still there were all the Makos. Still there was Kriyas Yamsuf. What's this challenge? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. After all, we know the famous question about Kriyas Yamsuf, the Aminu Bashem uva Moshe Avdo. We spoke about this a number of weeks ago. Vayaminu Bashem uva Moshe Avdo, that they believed in Hashem and his servant Moshe after what they saw at Kriyas Yamsuf in a much higher level than they saw in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, they saw Hashem punishing the Egyptians, but here they see Hashem saves them. They saw something new here, that Hashem cares about them, right? But now it's a whole new level of question. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin is asking, okay, Hashem's in the Ten Makos. Hashem is in wiping out the power of the most mighty nation in the world. And Hashem's by Yamsuf, right? Zekeli, this is my God, right? Our back's up against the wall, right? The Egyptians are going to wipe us out. God took us out of Egypt, you know, to kill us. So there's this massive, massive miracle. Unbelievable, literally. The Ruach Kodim, the easterly wind, something that's mamsh mind-blowing what they saw. And the miracles upon miracles upon miracles that took place there that the Midrashim talk about, that some people speak about on Seder night. But now, you know what happens? Right after, they're in a place where there's bitter water. Then, okay, so Moshe takes the eights, throws it in, and the water sweetens. Then they're hungry for food, and Hashem brings them on and this love. Now they come to Refidim, and again, the Ein Mayim L'shtos Ha'am. There's no water. So you know what the question of Hayesh Hashem B'kirbeinu Mem Ayin means? It's a fundamental question that Chalban says cuts to the heart of many, many philosophies that are very, very radically different and opposed to Jewish philosophy. But you know what the question of Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu Ayin means? I know God's in the big things. I know God's in the Yetzias Mitzrayim. I know God's in a Kriyas Yamsuf. But after Kriyas Yamsuf, the water's bitter. Okay, Moshe has to give it. Then we're hungry. Okay, Hashem is to bring, but now we're somewhere else. And also, there's no water for us. I don't understand. I get it, God's in the big things. I get it, God is in the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Eser Makos and the Kriyas Yamsuf. And according to, you know, the 50 Makos, the 50 miracles that were by the Yam, maybe more, maybe 250 miracles, right? But then right after, what do they encounter time and time and time again? What about the little things? Does God care about the little things? Or is God only involved in the big things? And this fundamental question, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu am ayin, is in fact Vayavu Amalek. That's the philosophy of Amalek. What do you mean? Amalek can deny that there were Makos in Egypt? The whole world knew about the Makos in Egypt. Amalek could deny the Kriyas Yamsuf? Amalek couldn't deny Kriyas Yamsuf. The whole world, Medrash tells us, knew about Kriyas Yamsuf. But what did Amalek deny? Amalek denied that God is really Bekirbeinu. That's what Amalek denied. Amalek said, yeah, your God is good with Tamakos. Yeah, your God is good with the Kriyas Yamsuf. But we see, your God, you're hungry, you want food. Oh, okay, fine, he has to give you food. You're thirsty, you're here somewhere. Your God's not paying attention. Your God is not paying attention. Your God doesn't care what really goes on with you. Your God doesn't know what's going on in your daily life. God is in the Himmel. God's in heaven. God's not Bekirbeinu. God is not here with us. And in fact, Rav Moshe Wolfson Shlita, the Mashkiach of Torah Vadas, Rav of Emunah Yisrael and Baruch Park, he points out what's interesting is that the nations of the world, what in fact was the sign of the covenant that God made with the nations of the world after the flood? What was the sign of Hashem's covenant that he won't bring another flood to the world? What was it? It was a rainbow. Interesting. What's the Jewish sign of the covenant? Bris Milah. The rainbow that's above this world. It's almost like if for the general world, you want to find God, you have to go above the physical. You have to go beyond this world. You got to look up. You have to forget about down here. Fly up over the rainbow, right? But for the Jewish people, if we want to find spirituality, we want to find God, is God Bekirbeinu? The Makom HaMila, the most physical aspect, right? The Makom HaMila, the reproductive organ of a male, such a great taiva, such a thing that makes us so animalistic, you could argue, right? So that's exactly what Chalban says. This is the challenge, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu. And when Amalek attacks us, they are forcing us to confront the fact that no, Hashem is Bekirbeinu. And that's why to defeat Amalek, what do we have to do? What did we have to do? It's the famous Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, the end of Parshas Beshalach tells us, he has to put his hands up. And when Moshe Rabbeinu puts his hands up, the Jewish people are winning the war. When Moshe Rabbeinu's hands go down, the Jewish people are losing the war. What does that mean? The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah asks, V'chiyadav shel Moshe, osus melchama, oshovros melchama. Is it Moshe's hands that made a war or broke the war? Did he make or break the war? Moshe Rabbeinu's hands? It's not the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ella, lo marloch, to teach us, shekol zman shayu Yisrael mistaklim kaplei mala, u'mishabdenes libam, laviyam shabashamayim, hayu miskabrim. That as long as the Jewish people looked up, Moshe Rabbeinu's hands going up were saying, Klal Yisrael, hey, Legiyidin, just look up. The Eibishter is here. The Eibishter is with you. You don't worry about a Amalek that's right in front of you. Just look up. Yes, he's Aviyam Shebashamayim, but understand that he is Bekir Bechem. He is there with you. And there is, of course, Kabbalistic interpretations of the concept of Yesh versus Oyin. Oyin is like the Ein Sof, the absolute eternal nature of God, meaning that God is too big for this world. God's Ein Sof, he's beyond, meaning he's Yesh Bekirbeinu, or he's in Oyin, not. Is he the Ein Sof, totally, totally beyond this world? And this is exactly the answer. What the Medrash is telling us, that Amalek comes to attack us when we're troubled by this question, our enemies attack us. This is what makes the Jewish people susceptible. Because as we know, the Rambam talks about this and many others, that to the degree that a person is Meshavis Livam Lavim Shabashamayim, to the degree that a person has Emuna and a person has Betachon, so you open up the Arubas Hashamayim and you bring down greater Hashkacha upon you, right? You open up that Shefa. The more that a person is mammon in the Borei Olam, to the great degree that you can feel the Ribono Shalom in your life, and you see the Ribono Shalom in your life. And this is why, this is the only Kriyas HaTorah D'Oraisa. You know, it's very interesting. Rabbi Yerucham Olshin, in his Sefer, Yerech L'Moadim, on the Dala Parshas and Purim, he asks the question, why do we have to remember what Amalek did? Right, it's Parsha Zachar. It's the Parsha of remembering. Why Davka this? We know there are the Sheish Zachiros that Rishonim say you should say every day. Remember Shabbos. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam. Remember Matan Torah, which we've spoken about. But this is the one that the only Kriyas HaTorah D'Oraisa Zachar Es Hasharas Alucha Malik B'derech Betzeischem Mitzrayim. Asher Karcha B'derech. Why is this D'Oraisa? Mamish, the only Torah reading you have to hear, right? This is the Chi of D'Oraisa. Again, obviously, Onus Rechmana Patre, it doesn't have to be the Shabbos Davka. But why this? Because think about the fundamental message of a Parsha Zachar. Right? Some say, Rabbi Yerucham brings down, Rabbi Yerucham Olshin Shlita, that the reason why we have to remember is that we should be filled with such sinna towards Amalek, that we should want to finish the war against Amalek. But he said, Rav Aaron Cutler, Zatzal, the founding Rosh Shiva of BMG, of Beth Medrash Kavon Lakewood, he had a little bit of a different take. He said, it wasn't pshat that we have to remember what Amalek did, so we're full with kas, we're filled with anger, and we want to go and right the wrong and go and fight against Amalek. Rav Aaron Cutler zucked. He says, you know why we have to remember about Amalek? Because we have to remember why Amalek came upon us. That's what we have to remember. We have to remember what made us susceptible to the attack of an Amalek. And what is it? Right? Remember Asher Karcha Baderech, that happened upon you, right? Derech Mikra, as we've often spoken about this. we have to remember what drew Amalek in. And granted, you know, Rav Aharon and Rav Yeruchim, they take it to the direction of Rafidim, Rafinat Torah, that we have to make sure that we're learning Torah. And of course, but you know what the Chalban says, tying the pshat of the Rifyon in Torah into the beginning pshat, he goes, what is the Torah about? The Torah is Megala, the Kedusha in us. The Torah is Megala, the Kedusha in this world. The Torah is you, if you will, the secret code to crack the mystery of Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu. Where is Hashem with us in this world, in Ayin? And that's why when they were, again, this ties the pshat in of Rifyon HaTorah, that they weakened in their commitment to learning Torah. Again, which, what does that mean? They weren't given the Torah yet. They had some mitzvos by Mara, right? They got Shabbos. But the lesson the Chazal are teaching us with the Medrash, what's the lesson the Chazal are teaching us with this Medrash? The lesson the Chazal are teaching us with this Medrash is that Torah, again, according to the Chalban, that really Vayavu Amalek, based on the Tanchum, is a response to the question, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Amayin, is Hashem amongst us or not? Torah is what answers the question for us. Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Amayin. Torah is what enables us to see the Kedusha inherent in each and every one of us. Inherent in how much, teaches us how much Hashem loves us, how much Hashem wants to be close to us. That the mitzvahs are just ways to draw Hashem closer and closer to us in this world. And this, of course, this whole idea of Ayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Emayin and Vayavu Amalek and fighting against Amalek causes us to answer that question is, of course, obviously so clearly related to the story of Purim. Because what was the sin of Purim? We've spoken about this so often, right? The Gemara Megillah tells us, we spoke about it on Shabbos 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago? Last week? I don't remember. I apologize. Right? But when we spoke about this on Shabbos, it did last week, 2 weeks ago, that what happened? Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, thought that God wasn't with them anymore. They went to the Suda of Achashverosh, that Achashverosh was dressed as Kohen Gadol, that they were pouring from the Kalim of the Kalim Shonim, they were pouring the kosher wine, the Mavushal wine, from the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, that were looted by Nebuchadnezzar and came ultimately to Achashverosh. And the Jews were at such a party. And the Jews, they took pleasure in a party. They went to a party and they enjoyed themselves. How they should have been crying. But Elamai, the Jewish people in the time of Mordechai and Esther, thought, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu? Is God with us anymore? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Achashverosh was making the party because he thought the 70 years that were supposed to be between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash were over, because the Gemara goes through the whole reason that Achashverosh made a mistake in his counting, because even Achashverosh knew the prophecy, because the Jews knew the prophecy. But when the 70 years were up, according to Achashverosh, the Jewish people, some of them bought into that. And they said, maybe Hashem really has rejected us. Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Amayin. Maybe God is not with us anymore. So that, as the Chalban says, that's what opened us up to be susceptible to an attack from an Amalek. That's what happened. And that's why it's in the story of Purim. Of course, one of the Kisei HaKodesh with no mention of Shem Hashem, Bechlal. You don't have that in anything else. Mamash, no mention of Hashem, Bechlal. No mention. Where's Shem Hashem? In the Megillah. But Elamai, this is the challenge. Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Amayin. Is Hashem with us or is Hashem not with us? And that's why Purim was another Kabbalah Satorah. Right? That's why, there was. We were talking. It was this week that we spoke about it, right? This past Shabbos. I apologize. I'm short-term memory, not so good. But this is something that when we talk about a Parsha Zachar, Chevra, why is this the Kriyas HaTorah Midaraisa? And it's so beautiful. Think about what the message is. The message of the only Kriyas HaTorah Midaraisa is, you matter. Understand, you matter. Like what Ryan Cutler was saying, the reason why we have to remember is because we remember what makes us susceptible. What makes us susceptible to the poisons of a spiritual, of course, and physical, meaning this is the Medrash. What makes us susceptible is the doubt in our own value to the Ribono Shalom. And this is what we have to understand. And granted, there are religions that basically say, no, a human being is essentially sinful. That physical is something you have to separate yourself, right? I mean, the Rev Wolfson says of the rainbow, the concept that the holiest people are the ones that don't get married. The holiest peoples are the ones that live an ascetic lifestyle, that don't take any pleasure of this world. As Jews, we absolutely reject that. We also, that's kfira. That's kfira to Torah. Torah doesn't say that. V'samachta b'chagecha. Of course, you have to, but it means basar yayin, enjoy. Enjoy. That you're mechuyev to. You're obligated. Purim coming next Friday. You have to have a special suda. Yeah, it could be milchiks if you get a geschmack for milchiks, you know. But this is really what we have to understand. And what a beautiful, beautiful Torah. Mamish. Mamish, what we have to think about of Parsha Zachar going into the Shabbos. And that's why it's the Shabbos before Purim. It's the Hachana. Not because of the message of Amalek per se. But remember why we became susceptible to Amalek in the first time Amalek attacked. And why we became susceptible in the story of Purim. Why? You could think, why did that happen to us in Purim? Parsha Zachar is the answer. But Parsha Zachar is also one of the deepest Torahs that we have to always remember. That everything that we do is significant. That Hashem's love of His people, B'ni B'chori Yisrael, is because of who we are. It's not only because it's not because of the Torah per se. It's because of who we are. B'ni b'chori Yisrael, Hashem told Moshe to share with Paro. And so therefore we have to know that even Chas v'Shalom, when a Jew strays, that Hashem doesn't give up. Hashem anxiously awaits. Acha kilo, right? B'chol yom sheyavo, right? That sounds like what we say for Mashiach. But we know that the Navi says that Hashem says, Ad yom moso achakel. Hashem says, until the person's day that they depart this world, I'm waiting for them to do tshuva. Hashem says, I'm waiting for them to do tshuva. I love them so much. And this is why I apologize. I know tonight was supposed to be the tefillah shir, but I just said, like, Monday night was truma, and I apologize, some missed the parsha shir. But how can we go without learning about Zachar? How sharing this insight of the Chalban, which is essentially the Tanchuma. That Parsha Zachar is Hashem answering the question, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu emayim? Is Hashem b'kirbeinu, b'kerev ha'aretz? Is Hashem here? Not only is He in control, but does He care? Does He care? Because after all the big things, the Makos, the Kriyas Yamsuf, those amazing miracles, but yet we don't have water? We don't have food? God, hello? Hello? So Hashem says, no, don't worry. You think for a second I don't love you? You think for a second that I'm not involved in every little thing going on? Okay, here's Amalek. Now you have to fight that internal poisonous spiritual enemy. I'm gonna bring you its physical manifestation, because that's how you have to fight it, and that's gonna help you come to the inner spiritual recognition and illumination. And that's my bracha to each and every one of us, that we should be zocha in this parsha of a parsha zachar. To remember how much Ribbono Shel Olam loves us, even when it doesn't seem clear to us, even when we have questions to doubt, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu emayin, if Hashem is amongst us or not. And that's why I thought that, especially tonight's shir, on the Yartzeit of Rabbi Yehuda Landa, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha, a person that, you know, when sometimes people would ask him, where are you from? He would point the numbers on his arm and say, Auschwitz. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. People who could mamish ask that child, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. And He taught us what the answer is. And Parsha Zachar, you have to remember, however, how much Hashem cares, how much Hashem loves us, and we should all be zocha be'ezrus Hashem to get to Eretz Yisrael and see the miracles and wonders that are going to make Kriyas Yamsuf look like child's play. Have a great Shabbos, everyone. Take care.